Excellent. I'm going to invite Heather now to come and give us our Bible reading for today. Thank you, Heather.
The reading this morning is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. I'm beginning to read at verse 34, and it can be found on page 991 in the Church Bibles. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Amen.
Thank you, Heather. So, as I've already said, we've asked the question throughout the entire weekend. Words would you like to PMC to embody? And the results are in. The results are in. Drum roll, please. Come on. Yes. Can I grab the last slide of the PowerPoint up, please, John? There we go. So PJ has very kindly collated all of these words and put them into what's called a word cloud. And the way that this works is the biggest words are those that were said the most, that were written down and put into the box the most. So these words are the words that all of you wrote down and placed into that prayer box throughout the weekend. And we can see that the largest of all, quite by far, is love. Love was the biggest word. Closely followed by outreach, which was the second most written down, and inclusiveness. Now, some of you will notice that Jesus is quite small on there. Where is he? There he is. Jesus isn't the biggest on there, and God isn't on there at all. And I was like, that's questionable. And I raised it with Tim, and Tim very wisely pointed out that Jesus and God are just a given. They are just a given. We are a church. We're not just a charity. We are a church. Therefore, Jesus and God are always and should always be a given. And so, we took these words, these top three words, and we thought about them and we prayed about them. And as a leadership team, we chatted and we found that as a church, we feel like we are already embodying these words. We are already doing three of those words. And once again, PJ put it really well. He said, we're already going in this direction. We're already walking the path that God is calling us to lead, to walk. But this is affirmation. This is confirmation that we need to start sprinting down that path. This is God telling us that actually, as a church, this is where we're going, where we need to start sprinting down that path. Because when God calls us to do something and calls us to do it now, why would we hesitate? Why wouldn't we start sprinting towards that? But how do we know that we are already practicing these things? How do we know that we are already embodying these three words? And so I retort with a question. What is PMC? Is it just bricks and mortar? Is it just a business where everyone who donates to it just meets randomly on a Sunday morning? No. PMC is none of those things. PMC is its people. It's all of you. You are the living stones that make up this church. And you are already embodying love, outreach, and inclusiveness. And the fact that these are the biggest words in this word cloud is simply affirmation of who we are and what we are already doing as a church. And so another question that was asked at the leadership team meeting, what do these words look like on a Monday morning? Essentially, what do they look like in practice? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Why? Because we are in a relationship with God. God loves us so much. And the reason that love is at the top, I believe, and the reason that these words all interconnect, they cascade down from each other, is that we have to recognize that we are loved. The start of this process is recognizing that we are all loved by God. We are all cherished and delighted in. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made. And when we are in love, what do? We tell people about it, don't we? Now, I think I know why PJ hasn't turned up to this service today, because I want to tell you a story. When PJ and Sarah first started dating, they didn't tell anyone for a little while. They kept it quiet because they wanted to make sure that it was serious, it was the real thing. I knew, because I'm intuitive. But when they found out that... Well, when they worked out that it was, you know, it was the real thing, that they really were in it, in this, what did they do? They told people. They came to a house group one Wednesday evening and announced it to the whole group. And we proceeded to celebrate in that. It was amazing. We celebrated that love. And then after that, they posted it all over Facebook. Which, for those of you who doesn't know, that's like the modern equivalent of putting an engagement notice in the local paper. And that's what it's like with God. When we're in love, we want to tell people about it. When we recognize that we are loved and we are cherished, we want to go out and show people that. We want to tell people that. And God doesn't just call us to speak about it. God calls us to model that love through our actions. And this is where the outreach part, the outreach word comes in. We need to express God's love through our actions to the people around us. We need to go out there, outside this church, with excitement, go, yeah, I am loved. I am a child of God. And it's not just a select few that are loved by God. We can all be loved by God. We are all loved by God. God loves their creation. No matter who you are, what you've done, or where you might be in the moment, at the moment, you are loved. God loves us through the depression and the anxiety, through the marital problems, and through the mistakes that we make. And we are called to tell people that. We are called to embrace outreach and to go out and share the love of Jesus, the love of God, with those in our community. And we're not perfect either, are we? And if anything, that's almost just as important to say. We need to tell these people, look, we're not perfect. We're not the select few that God loves. We have all made mistakes. We have all messed up. But it's when we are weak. It's when we feel unlovable. That's when we have to recognize that we are loved. That there is hope. And we are called to bring hope to the hopeless. But who do we tell? And this is where the inclusiveness, the word inclusiveness comes in. We have to include the marginalized and the oppressed when telling people about the love of God. Throughout the Bible, God liberates those who are oppressed. Jesus would tell those who believe themselves unlovable that they are loved, freeing them from the enslavement of their own self-doubt. I'm doing the easy bit right now, church, in telling you that you are loved. Because it is easy. We're all here because we know that we are loved. I hope we know that we are loved. And if you don't know it today, know that you are loved. But let's face it, I think everyone here today is white. Majority of people here today are middle class and will have a good salary or a good pension. But what about when it comes to telling those people out there that they are loved? What happens when it comes to telling the people that have been stamped on and segregated by society? What happens when it comes to telling those who believe themselves unlovable that they are loved? We almost have to have a bit of a bias. I don't know if you remember, I hope you remember, the tragic events of when George Floyd was tragically killed a couple of years ago. And we're currently in Black History Month, and we are reflecting on those tragic deaths that happened. And shortly after that, the term Black Lives Matter spread across the world. And a few people would retort going, well, all lives matter, right? We're like, I think you've missed the point slightly. Yes, all lives matter. We know that all lives matter because God loves all. But actually, the fact that we're saying Black Lives Matter is because that black people have been oppressed for hundreds and hundreds of years. There are still people out there that believe black people to be second-class citizens. That still happens. There are still people who march against that, against black people's rights. And so by standing up and saying, no, Black Lives Matter, we are saying, you do matter, and we stand with you. And it's the same with women's rights. It's the same with people who are of a different sexuality. We are all loved by God. And we need to include those people when we're talking and telling people about that love. And so my question is, how do we welcome those people who are marginalized and oppressed? How do we tell them that they are welcome here? How do we invite them through this door and invite them to know the love of God? And this is what we stand for as a church. These words, what I've just said, is what we stand for as a church. This has been affirmed through the words that we as a church wrote down and put in that box. This is what we stand for. A church who recognizes God's eternal love for creation, all of creation. A church who strives to share that love with its community. And a church who in particular welcomes the marginalized and the oppressed. And as I've already said, this isn't me saying that we need to change direction. This isn't me saying that we need to start doing these things. It's already begun. We are already doing these things. We are already recognizing God's love. We are already spreading that to our community and including those who we may not have included before or we may find difficult to include. So this is an affirmation to you, church, that we are doing what God is calling us to do. And we need to keep doing it. If anything, we need to double our efforts in doing it. We need to start sprinting down that path. And that's great, isn't it? That's great that we've had that affirmation. It's great that we know a bit more of this church's identity. And it's great that we've had this fantastic weekend that's told us that. But what are we going to do about it? All that effort that has been put in, and trust me, there was a lot of effort put into this weekend. It would be pointless if we didn't take action, if we didn't act on the response that we got from it. God is calling us to take action right now. We, have, as a church, for the last year or so, have been cuddled up, licking our wounds, trying to heal after the events of COVID and God in Love Unites Us. But that time is over now. The fact that these words are on the screen is a call to action from God. God is calling us to stand up. And I ask the question, how are we going to respond to that call? What is it that you are going to take away from this weekend? What is it that you are going to go and set up? What is it that you are going to volunteer to do? How are you going to serve that call that God has given us? I'll give you some really sad news right now. Me and Keith had a meeting on Friday to discuss the Friday afternoon cafe. And unfortunately, we've had to suspend it indefinitely until we get the volunteers. The resources are there. We could start up again next week if we wanted to. The kids are there. As Tim said last week, the harvest is ripe for the picking. But we just didn't have enough people to run it. And it pains me to tell you this. I feel like I've failed the youth. I feel like I've failed you. I'm the youth pastor. I'm supposed to be running these things. And it hasn't even been a year yet. And we've had to suspend one of our youth clubs. Some people would say that's maybe trimming the sails and focusing on what we are doing right now. Maybe. It's still sad. It still is really sad. And the point is, you know, it could start up at any time. We could start it next Saturday, the week after, whenever. But we just need some people to step forwards and say, I'll do this. And the same can be said for Twinkly Tots. Tracy has been doing really well with that. She's hit the ground running. And there's now over 14 mums coming along each week with their toddlers. But it's just Tracy doing it. It's just Tracy running this fantastic group. This group that is meeting a need in our community right now. And all it would take is someone to come along and make some tea and coffee and sit and chat with the mums. To give up an hour, a couple of hours on a Thursday afternoon. And please don't take this as some sort of manipulative message. That's wrong. I'm not trying to guilt trip you into helping. I'm not trying to say to you that you need to do these things. No. I'm just giving you the facts. Yes, God is working. God is calling us to take action. But we're still vulnerable. And we all need to answer that call. You are this church. You. Not this building that we're sat in right now. Not Tim, the minister. Not me. It's you. You are the living stones that make up this church. And we need to practice what we preach. We need to practice love, outreach, and inclusiveness. And take action to make sure that those three words truly do embody this church. It's down to us. I like to think I'm already kind of off and sprinted. I want to think that. But I can't do it alone. And the question is, are you with me, church? Give me a yes, or give me a nod, or give me something. Tell me right now, yes? Yes? Are you with me? We are sprinting down this path. I was going to address the live stream now, but the live stream isn't on. This is our time to take action. God is calling us to something wonderful. So let's not hesitate in answering that call. Amen? Amen. I'm going to invite the band back up and we're going to go into a time of worship. I invite you to reflect on anything you'd like. But if you'd like to reflect on something that's been said, I invite you to reflect either on these three words or simply ask God, how can I walk the walk? God, we are here. What can we do? God, we are gathered here to praise you. And we join together in asking the question, what can we do? What are you calling us to do? Give us that energy. Give us that spark. Help us to take action. Amen.
To the world you created, trading your crown for a cross. You willingly died, your innocent life paid the cost. Counting your status as nothing, the King of all kings came to serve. Washing my feet, covering me with your love. If more of you means less of me, take everything. Yes, all of you is all I need, take everything. Thank you. If more of you means less of me, take everything. Yes, all of you is all I need. Take everything. If more of you means less of me, take everything. Yes, all of you is all I need. Take everything. Oh Lord, change me like only you can. Here with my heart in your hands, Father, I pray, make me more like Jesus. This world is dying to know who you are. Shown us the way to your heart. Father, I pray, make me more like Jesus. More like Jesus. Make me more like Jesus. Yes, all of you is all I need. Take everything. Lord, you know our heart's condition. You know the bits that need to be healed. Lord, you know the bits that need to be spurred on. Lord, you know the things that stop us from being who you would have us be. Lord, we surrender these at the foot of your cross, and we ask that this morning, that you are empowering our hearts, our souls, our minds, our bodies, that we might, in unity, within community, of inclusiveness, through outreach and the extension of love, just in the way that you, Lord Jesus, you accepted all. Lord, you sat down with the people who were most reviled in the community when you walked this earth. Lord, you walked and talked and ate with the people who were shunned in society. And Lord, we pray that we might truly be more like Jesus, more like you, Lord, showing love to all. Thank you, Jesus, for each one here and each one who plays a part in Penrith Methodist Church during the weeks and months. And we pray, Lord, that as Morgan has said this morning, Lord, that we might embrace the thought that we are starting a new chapter, that we might embrace that and we might work together to bring your glory, your mercy, grace and love to Penrith and the area around us. Thank you, Lord, for the great privilege of meeting here this morning, of worshipping you freely. And we pray, Lord, that we might just bathe in your Holy Spirit now and take your gospel message to all that we meet. That gospel message of love, of acceptance, of assurance of salvation with you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
go into our final hymn now, hymn number 503, Love Divine. So I invite us to stand as you're able, and as we sing, I want you to sing a declaration to God. Say to God, I am here and I stand for you. I stand for your love. Let's sing. Invite us now to open our hands and receive the Spirit. Ask that Spirit to come upon you now. And may God be with you in the rumble of the storms and the quiet of the night. May God bless you in the ups and downs of life. And may God's love be with you wherever you may walk. Amen. Amen. Refreshments are served as usual in the Ullswater Hall. I hope you have a blessed and fantastic week. Thank you.